Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, December 17th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. Want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, the Chinese government has recently established the Online Game Ethics Committee. We'll talk about what that could mean for the future of esports in China. Plus, the Capcom Cup wrapped up over the weekend, and Norris is going to lose his mind if we don't talk about it. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily, but we start playing a little bit of catch-up from over the weekend. Joining me to help break down this marginally important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
Just need money.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
All right. Well, interesting.
I was only saying that because we did Christmas shopping over the weekend.
Oh, really?
And I'm feeling it.
How did it go?
Poorly.
Really?
Well, did it go well and you're just poor or?
All of it. All of it, Joe.
I hate Christmas shopping. I choose to do most of it online, at least what I can do online. But I mean, like,
I only have two people to buy gifts for, and my life is like mentally a living hell.
How is it so hard then? I have six sisters, and they all have kids.
Oh.
Bruh.
That sounds terrible.
No, because listen, this is what happens. I get my gifts out very quickly, and I figure it out, and then somebody hits me with something, and I'm like, damn it, now they need that as a gift because some other life-type stuff has happened.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? So I get frustrated with that, and then now I got to deal with my girlfriend's, all her frustration, and all the people she got to buy gifts for. It's just a mess. I hate this time of year.
So this weekend, we didn't actually have any big events going on, right? Like,
nice change of pace.
Right? Like, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we were out in Vegas throwing this big epic party, and then last weekend we were out, Robbie and Norris were out in Boston, Joe and I were down in downtown Detroit, but this weekend we actually kind of got to have a real weekend, which was nice. I spent most of my weekend updating our imaging so that it all says Checkpoint XP, but outside of that, I actually
played
a lot of Fallout, streamed a little bit of it on Saturday. Make sure that you're following us at twitch.tv/checkpointxp so that you can get in on those streams. But Robbie and I were streaming together on Saturday, and then on Sunday I was playing a little bit more of Fallout 76, but like I also actually got to like do chores and like clean up a little bit, and I did laundry. I've been putting off doing laundry since we got back from Vegas.
You were actually doing it while we were playing, because about 3 hours after he had put in the first load, he goes, "Oh crap, laundry!"
I did do that.
Oh my god,
I did do that. That was the thing that I did.
So Nate, much like you, I actually did my first load of laundry since we got back from Vegas.
My god,
I know, we're disgusting
that
people.
Is horrible.
Well, we are disgusting human beings.
Well, I've got two genders worth of clothes, so I can still make it through that. I can last that long.
I mean, listen, laundry is one of those types of things that, like, for me, I can't as soon as it piles up, it's over. And I get very on top of doing the laundry because I hate having to do that one big load.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
inappropriate
phrasing.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. I'm right there with you. When I do laundry, I usually like to, you know, at least only do one to two loads instead of like five or eight. It's been that bad. It's been that bad before, especially if you have like sheets to do. I should have done my sheets, but I didn't get around to doing my sheets.
All right. Well, I had six loads of laundry, so...
How?
Again, two genders worth of clothes, man.
Okay, good point.
It takes a minute.
You know what I did actually get into over the weekend?
We've had a boring weekend, guys.
I met up with one of my homies, and we just kicked it, and we watched some stuff on Netflix, and we ended up watching a whole bunch of, like, old action and kung fu movies and stuff, right?
Oh, nice.
So we ended up watching Rumble in the Bronx, right? With Jackie Chan,
classic.
Right? Which
classic.
Is, first of all, classic.
Oh, definitely.
Second of all, there is no way that movie was shot in 1995. Where they say, like, no, that was the release of it in the United States. That movie clearly was shot in, like, 92.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But anyway, I digress. We then watch Mortal Kombat directly after that.
Oh, my God.
What a turn.
Best worst movie ever. Right?
Yeah.
Still very entertaining, even looking back at the graphics and stuff, because still, the first time Scorpion and Sub-Zero show up, I was lit. First of all, I was just like, here you go. It's about to go down.
I have to ask, when Sub-Zero makes his like ice blast right before Liu Kang beats him.
Oh, chills down your spine.
How does that affect...
Stop it.
How does that effect look today?
Oh, like trash.
Of course it does.
It looks awful.
How about when the thing comes out of Scorpion's
hand? Even worse.
Hand? Oh, no. I was hoping that would look amazing.
But Johnny Cage did the shadow kick into a portal, and he teleported to hell and had to fight down there. And apparently hell is just a bunch of cobwebs and sticks and ladders.
Did you find yourself wondering, by the way, after he beats Scorpion in hell, How did he get back? Because he's in like the next scene.
He just walks. He walks back upstairs. It wasn't hell. It was the basement. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening over at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP. You could join us live Monday through Friday for episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily, which is now available on iTunes. Make sure you go and subscribe. We're currently talking about what we did over the weekend. Norris, to kind of piggyback on what you were talking about, old fighting movies, dude. We on Friday we did a riff of Fail Army, one of the always on channels on Twitch.
We did.
Well, I have been mildly obsessed with another always on channel, Con TV.
Right.
Because when we tried to watch it on Friday, they were playing old episodes of Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, which is one of my favorite shows ever in the history of television.
Yes. But difficult to riff.
Difficult
to riff.
It's already
riffing Takashi's Castle.
Exactly. So I went back after we finished our episode that day, and then they were playing an old anime, undubbed, so it was still subbed, Saint Seiya from like 1988.
Oh, well, I know what their next riff is.
Oh, my God. God, dude, I love 80s anime. Like 80s, early 90s, like horrible anime where they've got like the soundtrack that's all.
Well, I got bad news for you, Nate, because that channel also apparently plays Zatch Bell occasionally.
It does. But you know what else it plays? It plays like the old Nintendo cartoon shows, like
Captain N.
Captain N. And The Legend of Zelda, the Mario Brothers. So like
Princess.
No. Yes, absolutely. They play old episodes of that, and so I'm really hoping that there's going to be a day where we're going to be able to catch it when they're playing some of that old stuff, so that we can riff it. I really hope so.
I hope so much. It's
fun.
Like an old episode of Gundam or something crazy.
Absolutely,
I would love that, man. Because you're right, 80s anime is. Is so good.
It is so good. It's so like dope. It's so bad. It's good.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
Like Lloyd and I were on Discord watching it and trying to figure out what exactly the hell was going on, because there was just a dude who transformed into a snake for no reason, and then when Saint Seiya would punch something, he became a Pegasus, and it's just like, what is even happening?
Doesn't even make sense.
They renamed it to like the Knights of the Zodiac when they brought it over to the U.S.
Be honest, man. I would have had no clue. Why is Saint Seiya not in Smash?
That would
be a perfect Smash game.
It really would. Probably because it comes from anime. Robbie, though, I want to switch gears here real quick and talk about our experiences in Fallout 76 over the weekend, because this was actually a pretty epic weekend in Fallout 76.
And one of the things I want to point out before we even hop into this, too, is when one of these happened for the first time, I remember someone in our chat saying, this is cool and all, but this is only going to happen like one in a million chances. I feel like something happens every single day now.
There's something unique in the DNA of this game, and I know a lot of people are still in their cycle of hating on it to be able to drum up clicks and stuff like that. Whatever. I've had more fun with Fallout 76 than almost any game that I've purchased
within
2018.
Within recent memory.
Totally.
Honestly. Yeah, especially when it comes to like playing with other people as well.
Exactly. And there's something about what Bethesda did with Fallout 76 that gave players players enough freedom to really make those kind of interactions with other players really interesting. Because we had a couple of guys that were like determined to take over a workshop that we were at.
Oh my
And there
gosh.
Was like five of us on the server, and we were all defending. Like big time. We all swarmed to defend, and these guys were like two-shotting us.
With
and
like
still,
explosive two-shot weapons.
And still we were able to successfully defend. It was epic. But we've also started like kind of like posseing up and killing anyone that's wanted. And there was
specifically low-level people who are wanted because they probably broke the rules somewhere and someone needs to teach them a lesson.
I mean, a low level is kind of relative because we're all kind of in the 100 range, because this guy was like a level 54. So he was wanted for like,
I hunted
50,
down,
50
I hunted
or 100
down.
Caps.
This is a great story about griefing, guys.
It's not griefing. Because it's part of the system. It's openly built in. So I don't know what he did to another player, but he got himself flagged and he got himself wanted.
What if he just stood at somebody's workshop for too long?
That doesn't flag you.
You have to do something
against
what
the
rules. What if he shot somebody by mistake three times?
You don't get 50 caps on your head for that.
Exactly.
You get 10.
I would know that because it happened to me. So we just spawn in. Swarm them.
Rebuilding America.
Exactly. Somebody's got to do it.
I'm not feeling this rhetoric.
Somebody's got to do
it. At all. Not feeling it.
Anyway, listen, we want to hear from you. How was your weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, the Capcom Cup, one of the largest FGC events of the year, wrapped up over the weekend. And by the way, it was out at the Esports Arena, looking really sharp out there. We'll check out who won and discuss what it means for the FGC. But ahead next, the Chinese government has recently established the Online Game Ethics Committee. We'll talk about what that could mean for the future of esports in China. We'll break down that conversation ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. We've reworked our on-demand archive to be a podcast. That's right, Checkpoint XP Daily is now available as a podcast. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on our nationally syndicated radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe to Checkpoint XP Daily today at our website, CheckpointXP.com, and now available on iTunes. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, the Capcom Cup, one of the largest FGC events of the year, wrapped up over the weekend. We'll check out who won and discuss what it means for the FGC. But we got to talk about this story coming out of China. News broke last week of the Chinese government's new regulatory body banning some of the largest titles in gaming today. A few days later, we learned that some of those reports had been made a little bit prematurely, as the actual list of games has not been made public, but nevertheless, it's opened up a very important discussion.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, what was strange is that the list of games included Fortnite and PUBG, which are two titles that Tencent has a lot of dealing with, and Tencent has a fairly positive relationship with the Chinese government. Now, some of the games that are on that list that or weren't on that list, but were mentioned as a part of this story.
Right.
Blizzard games are definitely mentioned as a part of this, and Blizzard is about to drop three new teams in the OWL in China.
So I want to start with the actual story that was getting passed around, because it made waves. Like, people were freaking out over this story. It comes from us from the China's new Online Games Ethics Committee.
Right.
They reviewed 20 titles to see whether they were fit for release. And you may remind you that games have not been releasing in China since like March, so It's been a minute. 11 of those titles were told they need to make ethical improvements or else, and that's quotation. They said ethical improvements
or else,
and 9 of those games were just denied an outright release. So the problem is that when the news started breaking, people were saying, Overwatch is on that list, and League of Legends and PUBG and Fortnite are on that list.
All the big ones.
The fact of the matter is that we have no idea which titles are under fire. But I do think that this is an important discussion, being that China is reevaluating its relationship to the video game industry, and that there's a very real possibility that this may not fall the industry's way. And if that's the case, Blizzard is spending an enormous amount of money. Well, actually, no, they're receiving an enormous amount of money from these companies in China that, you know, how is it going to impact these franchises?
Right.
You know, we've identified how much of a growth market video games are in China. And, you know, that includes all of the kind of sketchy business practices that we've been talking about, including loot boxes and things like this. So I think, you know, it seems strange to me that video game companies are still trying to court that section of the market that strongly, when there could be very real sanctions dropped on
them. Which is why you don't see, you know, other companies sort of doing the same thing. You're not seeing the same level of investment from Capcom and from other companies. I think the reason why Blizzard is doing it is because Tencent is a part owner of Blizzard. So whether...
Kind of like a little bit of an in for them.
Yeah, they have an in. They have somebody who is at least boots on the ground.
Like able to navigate that system, yeah.
Able to navigate that system, know the ins and outs, and know, you know, probably which palms to grease, I guess.
And as high risk as it may seem, too, with as many people that are over there, that's also very high reward if they do get in the door.
I mean, yeah, it's worth noting after this story was starting to get retracted, you know, places like Tencent have said none of their titles are involved in the 20 games that have
been... They're not going to come out and say, yeah, our titles are on that list. That'd be bad for stocks.
Their stocks have suffered enough.
Their stocks have suffered enough. And at this point, when it is something like this, you know, you can't say, no, our stuff is not on the list if the list was public and it was accurate.
Right.
There's nothing you could do about that. It's out there. But I think them coming out and saying, none of our games are on the list, other developers have done the same as well.
Yeah, Perfect World, who basically controls everything Steam-related over there. So CSGO, Dota 2, Steam titles, they're under. Now, interestingly, we didn't get a quote from NetEase, and NetEase is the one who handles all of Blizzard's titles over there.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we know League of Legends is probably safe because they're run by Tencent. Yep. Nate, to your point, it really does kind of spark this conversation about that. At what point does that risk start to outweigh the reward?
Absolutely. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. We're currently talking about China's relationship to video games and the way that their government seems to be cracking down on some of the content and practices in video games. And I think that there's actually even a larger conversation to be had here, because we're starting to see some very disturbing news reports coming out of China about some of the possible human rights abuses that are going on in that country when it comes to religious people, whether it's the Uyghurs, the Muslim Uyghurs, or whether it's the Christian pastor that was recently put into an internment camp. There's some very troubling stories that are emerging out of China that make me as just, you know, a commenter very like, okay, well, what is Blizzard going to do about this? Does Blizzard actually even have to do anything about this? It actually mirrors in a lot of ways the same thing that the WWE just went through with the Crown Jewel event in Saudi Arabia and, you know, the journalist from the Washington Post being murdered.
Yes.
And they didn't end up canceling the event. And the WWE suffered a lot of backlash for that decision.
No, they totally did, but at the same time, I think they still understand a part of their core demographic, which kind of doesn't see that as that big of an issue.
That doesn't see that as a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of get that, but at the same time, American media dragged them. I think, you know, The Daily Show or John Oliver even did an entire segment breaking down why it would be important for the WWE to step back from it and why in years or generations or decades past a company would
again,
back off.
There's a large
something like
contingency
that
of the country that doesn't watch, listen to, or believe those outlets.
You're absolutely
so why absolutely right. So why would they have any sort of outrage?
You're absolutely right. And here's the thing is that I think that we see some of that mirrored attitude with video games and esports fans and what's happening in China. And it doesn't matter the litany of human rights abuses that, you know, come out of China. They're just interested in the teams that are going to be sitting down and playing. But at what point, like, is there a breaking point where Blizzard has to step back and go, okay, this is really a messed up situation?
But think about it in this way, and this is something that I think, you know, we in the West and in Western media in particular need to do a lot more of, is, you know, we could look at any vast number of human rights abuses here.
Yeah, you gotta look in your own backyard at some point.
And we would be up in arms furious if there was a company like, say, Capcom, who said, because of various human rights abuses and things that we do not agree with, dealing with the American government, we will no longer publish our games or put Capcom Cup in America ever again.
But let's not sit here and pretend like there isn't a line that you know, any country's human rights abuses can get to where that doesn't, like,
yeah,
right? Like, if the American government was committing human rights abuses on a scale and, you know, in a way that was completely unforgivable, then, you know what, it would be normal for not just countries but industries to go, listen, we're not doing business.
And what
with
I'm
that.
Saying is based on that, and I don't want to get too mired down in like a political ideology type thing, but there has been that before in this nation and many other nations
in the history of the world.
In many industries have not removed their, you know, their commerce from those countries. So to expect some sort of moral imperative from ActiBlizz to not put their teams in China when China's the largest growth market in the world for esports and many other things, I think is a bit naive.
Well, I mean, you have to look no further than, you know, the NFL right here. There are hundreds of thousands, millions of fans of the NFL, despite what you would not call a sparkling resume for when it comes to ethics. If you're going to be a fan of the NFL, there's that you got to be able to circle that square. And it's going to be the same thing with this. If you're going to be a fan of Overwatch League or Blizzard Games being in China,
you got to kind of be okay with it.
Well, and you also have to keep in mind too that specifically when it comes to these Chinese teams, I think that Blizzard's getting more money than they're putting into it. So when you talk about where that line is, where they're going to get more of a blowback, I don't think that they're anywhere near it right now.
That line hasn't touched or come close to the bottom line, which is the one that matters for Blizzard.
But to that point, Norris, I don't think you do have to be okay with it. You can be vocal and speak out against it, but the point is, like, You have to
figure out how to reconcile.
You have to live in the real world, yes, too, and understand absolutely that, you know what, there is a huge financial incentive for an organization to be active in China. It is the largest available market, probably not named the United States. Yeah. And if you're going to, like, expect a company to step away from that, first of all, you need to look in your own backyard, kind of as Norris said. But second of all, you need to live in the real world and realize that's probably not going
to
happen.
Okay, but if we're living in the real world, we also have to accept the fact that the international nature of esports, the inherent international nature of esports, that sometimes geopolitical events are going to come into play and going to impact the scenes and the industry moving forward. And I'm just curious what the very first one of those is going to be for esports. It's going to be interesting to see. Not sure what it is, but it's going to happen. Listen, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on esports continuing to invest and grow in China? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, the Capcom Cup, one of the largest FGC events of the year, wrapped up over the weekend. We'll check out who won and discuss what it means for the FGC. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, esports and gaming radio. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes, possibly a third if you guys subscribe a little bit more. Tali and Fritz are our actual cats and their Twitch emotes. There's only one place to get them. That's twitch.tv/checkpointxp. This weekend played host to the Capcom Cup. Every year, the fighting game community wraps up with Capcom's biggest Street Fighter V tournament of the year. And this year, it was being held at a place that is close to all of our hearts. That's right. That's the Esports Arena out in Las Vegas at the Luxor.
The HyperX.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. You are absolutely right. Allied Esports is bringing some big events to that arena. And I got to say, it was really nice to see that arena packed with people and just rocking. I mean, that place was electric.
No, it was, until people start performing and whatnot. I mean, because here's the thing. Capcom Cup, when it comes down to the gameplay and the personalities, is always a good watch because, I mean, the big names are there. But leading up to the top eights, and I got to get this out the way, they had Dale the Funky Homo Sapien there.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's a rapper.
From like the early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Yeah. Def Jones.
I know Dell. I know Dell.
Esports. Have we learned nothing?
Exactly. Now, nobody don't get
knew,
me wrong.
I bet you nobody knew who he
Not
was.
Not a soul.
Yeah,
don't
that's
get
too
me
bad.
Wrong. Because he did a song for one of the characters.
Sure.
In the game. But you don't bring him out as one of the performers when the average when the average age, you know, skewed a little bit younger,
yeah,
a little bit non-English speaking.
Now,
it was a mess, dude. It was a mess. It was worse than DJ Khaled.
I understand that they also had DJ Qbert, who is one of my all-time DJ heroes on the planet.
And Dan the Automator was there.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Had a lot, dude.
For a 34-year-old dude, that would have been an amazing lineup.
Exactly.
I would have paid the money just to see them perform.
Yes.
Forget exactly. Street Fighter. I want to watch them.
But no, you didn't. Halfway through, nobody did. But anyway, getting more towards the tournament. First of all, top 32s were nuts, bro.
Yeah.
Crazy. Because by the end of the top 32s, Tokido was eliminated.
No, I was just about to ask.
Punk was eliminated.
Wow.
RD last year's champ was eliminated.
Wow.
Dude, the champ from 2016 was eliminated.
So who was left?
Pretty much Justin Wong, and that's about it.
That's it.
Justin Wong and seven Japanese players.
Yes, and one guy from Singapore.
Well, but I think that's got to be notable because of Japan's recent entrance into the esports scene, and it seems like, especially in the FGC, they are well poised to be dominant, and this just really drives that home.
Were they 100%. New names that were taking these guys out, at least?
They were big names, and they were names that had been very, very, very dominant throughout the season. So Gachacon, Fujimoro, who was a big favorite to win a lot of stuff, but one of the big wins in top 32s was Justin Wong going up against Evo champion Problem X.
Is it gonna kill? It is.
Justin Wong does it,
and Justin Wong is in top 8 of the Capcom Cup.
So that was really crazy because, first of all, Problem X had been one of the most dominant players in the circuit this year, and he won Evo. And for Justin Wong to take him out, man, he was like America's only hope. And we really wanted him to win. It was supposed to be his year. He did so well. And we really, really wanted him to win in top 8.
Man, Justin had 99 problems. X wasn't one of them.
You're listening? Wow. You're terrible, Robbie. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. We're currently going back over the results of the Capcom Cup. Exciting night. So it was really all eyes on Justin. How'd he do when it came down to top eight?
You know what? He ended up going against Fujimura in his first match, which was like the last person anybody wanted to play.
Oh, no.
In top eight, he ended up getting sent to losers.
Oh,
and,
no.
He got taken out by Itabashi Zangief.
Oh,
we call
man.
Him Itazan, who actually would go on to lose to grand finals Itazan with Abigail, which was very unexpected. But he ended up going up against Gachikun, and Gachikun hadn't lost a match until top eights, and he was able to pull out this really, really crazy move against Itazan.
Still has trigger available. Gachikun can do this. It's going to be tough, but he can definitely do this.
Oh, my. The fierce buffer. One more for Dizzy. Jump light kick.
The throw.
Back throw. Gachikun somehow survives, brings it all the way back.
Now, this is after a bracket reset.
This was an amazing moment because, I mean, he's at one HP.
It didn't even look like he had any HP.
The magic pixel, bro.
It is that close. The margin of error is none, and I saw at least two parries in there.
No, you didn't.
No?
No, you didn't.
Were they straight blocks?
No, they were V reversals.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
I'm a layman. I don't know.
It's all good.
I don't know the difference between a parry and a V reversal. Excuse me.
Itazan was winning a lot of hearts, too, because like after every match, he would check his phone, and people were like, what is on his phone? He's on Tinder.
I heard some of the speculating that he was like getting ready for the hookup later.
Yeah, for the after. The party.
It was
crazy.
The commentators were definitely having fun tonight.
Oh yeah. But with that said, Gachikun ended up actually dominating, and here was that championship call.
EX Eclipse, I'm trying to jump out. Not enough to kill. Gachikun got it. That's gonna do it. He is your Capcom Cup 2018 champion.
250 racks, by the way.
Now, that is a quite a sizable pool, especially in the FGC. Do you think Capcom's really trying to inspire other tournament organizers to bump up their pools?
They are. And first of all, they have a much larger backing than a lot of other fighting games. But
sure.
They're taking a feather out of the MOBA cap and using all the purchases from certain skins and going directly towards the prize.
That's what surprised me, too, because the whole prize pool is only $380,000.
Yeah.
That means first place got $250,000. Second place only got $50,000. Mm-hmm. That is a steep drop-off.
Listen,
from first
you
got to
win. Well, but here's the thing, though, is that when it's only a single person
you're
not splitting it amongst a team, and those prize pools can go down quite a bit after first place. That's the way single-player tournament, that's how it should
think
be.
Think about it. Itazan is leaving Vegas, or maybe he's still there. I would be, with 50 racks.
Yeah.
He flew to Japan 50 racks poorer. Think about that.
Like, honestly, I'd be sitting down at the craps table and wouldn't be moving for at least a little bit. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Don't miss it. Sarah Skopic will be with us. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.